Well, this morning we're going to move into the second letter of John, John 2. A letter described by one author that I read as the most neglected letter in the Bible, okay? Perhaps because it is a personal letter written by John to a chosen lady and her children. Perhaps another reason that it's neglected is that there's only 13 verses in the whole letter, okay? I must admit to you that I have never preached on 2 John before, okay? Maybe it was a twinge of guilt, or maybe it was the motivation of God's Word to preach on it. I was reminded of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It teaches us that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Well, that includes 2 John, okay? And so we're going to look at 2 John. We're also going to look at Mark chapter 10 in correlation to the opening greeting of 2 John. Let's pray as we get ready to look at God's Word to us this morning. Gracious God, we come now in Your name, Jesus, and we thank You, Holy Spirit, for the inspiration of the Scripture. We thank You for the truth that You've given us and all of it, that You've inspired, and that, Lord Jesus, You teach us what You want in us. And so may our hearts be open to that desire You have for us as Your church, that desire You have for us as individuals. And Lord Jesus, help us to be faithful to the truth of Your Word to us here this morning. I pray that everything I share will be faithful and true to Your Word. And Lord, if there be anything that I share that is not faithful and true to Your Word, Lord, stop up the ears of everyone that they may not hear it. But if it's true, open up their hearts that it may remain there. And I pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen. So as I said, 2 John. And we're going to start off with kind of the opening greeting of 2 John, verses 1 through 6. It's up here on the screen if you need it. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to follow along there. Starting verse 1. This letter is from John, the elder. I am writing to the chosen lady and to her children, whom I love in the truth, as does everyone else who knows the truth, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. I am writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. This is not a new commandment, but one we have had from the beginning. Love means doing what God has commanded us, and He has commanded us to love one another just as you heard from the beginning. Neglected. This letter by John is to a chosen lady, meaning a lady chosen by God. The letter is also, and I believe very importantly, addressed to her children that know the truth. Biblical scholars, as they have looked at this particular letter, do discuss the aspect of the mother and the children in this greetings portion of the letter. Some would say that this letter is written by John to a specific woman and to her biological children. And other biblical theologians would summarize and surmise that the chosen lady is actually a church, and that the children are the believers in that church. If this is a specific woman, we do not have any idea where or if a husband exists. And if this is a specific woman, we do not know whether she is a widow or not. What is clear in the scripture is that there is a God-loving, spiritual relationship between John and this chosen lady, or this chosen woman, or this chosen church, that John, as he writes this letter, writes it out of the love, I believe, the Holy Spirit has placed in his heart as he writes to this chosen lady and her believing children. And John is inspired to write this. Now, when I thought about the title for the message today, I was moved by the statement that I read by one commentary that this was the most neglected book in the whole of the Bible. That kind of just kept sticking in my head. I was also moved by the fact that John most deliberately, and I believe it's deliberately, comments on the children and knowing her children there in verse 4. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth, just as the Father commanded. Notice particularly that these children are living according to the truth. Okay, you see that? There in verse 4. The truth, of course, is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the truth that they are living to. The truth that Jesus is God, that Jesus saves, and that Jesus continues to live in the hearts of those that believe and receive Him as their Lord and Savior. The most familiar scripture for many that deals with children that most people come to is in relationship to the book of Mark. And it's chapter 10, and it's verses 13 through 16. It'll also be up here. Invite you to follow along and take a look at that. Let's see if we can find some correlations here to 2 John. Starting verse 13 in Mark 10. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. As I considered the scripture in 2 John, and I thought about the correlation to Mark 10 and Jesus' interaction with the disciples, and Jesus' interaction with the children. Sadly, it seems that oftentimes that as we get to be adults, we tend to think that what we are doing is more important than what God would have us do. Even when it comes to what Jesus tells us specifically to do in regards to neglecting children in the Scripture. And understand this, in light of Mark 10 that I just read, there is really no difference between children of a physical age and children of a spiritual age. Hear me again. There's really no difference between children of a physical age and children of a spiritual age. You might be 30. You might be 50. You might be 70. And you might still be a child spiritually. Okay? Are you with me there? Again, the difference between physical age and spiritual age. Is Jesus saying that the kingdom of heaven belongs to children? Children that are tender? Children that are eager? Children that are ready to be touched on their heads and their hearts by Jesus? In 2 John, okay, I'm jumping back and forth. 2 John, John is so happy, so delighted to meet the children that are living in the truth, whatever their age, okay? He's delighted to meet these children that are living in the truth. Someone along the way brought these children to Jesus that he is delighted to meet. Might have been their mother, might have been the church, but someone along the way brought those children along that they might know Jesus. Don't forget, someone brought them along because they're children. Sometimes we forget the welcome Jesus gave the children in Mark 10, even when the disciples were busy about the work of Jesus. Sometimes adults, we get so busy about the work of Jesus, okay, about what we're doing, that we forget and we neglect the children. You see, just before the scripture that we read in Mark 10, Jesus was very busy. Lesson for us here. Before that scripture in Mark 10, in the chapter before and in the ministries that Jesus was doing, he was very busy. Large crowds were following Jesus at that time. Large crowds. Sometimes he had to get in a boat to get away from them. Okay? Lots of adults were coming to Jesus because they had lots of questions and they had lots of agendas and they had lots of things that were adult that they needed to bring to Jesus. They were hungry and they were ready to speak to Jesus. And in that setting, as the crowds followed him, as the crowds gathered around him, as the crowds pushed in about him, Jesus may have just said, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to teach right here. And so he sits and he's teaching. And of course, someone had to keep order around Jesus, right? It wasn't the kids that was keeping order around Jesus, it was the adults, okay? We somehow, the disciples had that job. And so, you know, we gotta have order here because Jesus is getting pushed over here. We gotta have order here because, you know, we need to have order here. Okay? We're adults and we're gonna have an orderly way that people come to Jesus. After all, important people. We want to make sure the important people, we want to make sure the adults that have the pressing questions have access to Jesus. They are the adults, right? And they are, most importantly, important. Or are they? Are we as adults? In Mark, the children show up. Mark 10, we see the children show up. Okay? Doesn't say they got in line first, does it? Even if you neglect them, children show up. Right? I see a few of you not. Even when you neglect children, that's when oftentimes they show up the most. Okay? Can you picture Jesus? He's teaching the children. He's teaching everyone. And the children are just showing up. They don't know about lines. They don't know about order. They just know about Jesus. They've heard the stories. They've seen him. There he is. He must be important because the adults think he's important. Okay? Yes? We know in Mark 10, we read it. You can check it again. Reference for you there. The parents bring them. We see that the parents bring their children. And yes, adults should bring children to Jesus. If we don't bring them to Jesus, the fact is we are neglecting them. Maybe the parents are desperately pushing their way to Jesus with their children because their children might be sick. They've heard that he can heal. Maybe their child is dying. They've heard he can raise him from the dead. Maybe their child's disabled. He's healed people that are disabled. Maybe that's why they're bringing their children to Jesus. He can heal them of physical things. Folks, if we aren't bringing children of any age, if we aren't bringing children of any age to Jesus, then we're neglecting them. They may be fed. They may have all kinds of stuff in this world. But if we don't bring them to Jesus, we're neglecting them. In the time of 2 John and in the time of Mark chapter 10, children were not considered valuable. Okay? That's the reality of life in those days. Children were not considered valuable at all, probably because they were vulnerable. Historians would indicate that up to 80% of children born at that time never made it to their 16th birthday. Maybe hard to imagine that children aren't of value in the world that we live in today. Golly, I see lots of parents running taxi services from here to there for their children. Seems there's a lot of value in children and running them from one place to another place, getting them to school, getting them to dance lessons or soccer. Or, you know what? Advertisers know exactly how important children are in our world today. They know who control the pocketbooks. They know how children can get their parents to get them whatever their child, quote unquote, needs. All right? They're valuable today in one way to some folks. In Jesus' day, in 2 John and in Mark 10, children were the weakest. And they probably had the least amount of pull in the whole of a community. They were seen as a liability to most families. They were not seen as a valued so much commodity because, well, they ate, they got sick, and they did all the things that kids do. They really only began to mean something of importance in the family when they could began to be able to contribute to the resources of the family. And so we have Mark 10 and the disciples, and we read about the children being brought to Jesus. They probably mattered the least in the disciples' eyes. Come on, we've got adult questions. We've got governmental questions. We've got all of these big important things that we need to get before Jesus, before we have these little children come to Jesus. Clearly, in 2 John, John gives a big nod to children that believe. If we see anything in this whole letter, I pray that you'll see that note, that he is thankful for those that have believed and know the truth. He's joyful at that. He is happy they've come to the truth of Jesus and that they remain in the truth of Jesus. And remember what I said earlier, someone had to bring them to Jesus. Could have been the chosen lady. Could have been the church. Could have been a mother. Could have been other believers in the church. How did you come to Jesus? How did you come to Jesus? Did you find him on your own? Did somebody bring you to Jesus? It may be so long ago you might not be able to remember. I would venture a guess, and I said it's a guess, that someone brought you to Jesus. You know what? When the disciples scolded the parents for bringing children to Jesus, we see one of the few earthly times that Jesus became angry. He was angry with the disciples for disregarding the children, and may I say, neglecting the children. In fact, Jesus was so angry, when you study this scripture in Mark 10 and you study the Greek word, the word used in the Bible that he uses to express his anger is the same word that Jesus uses when he comes against demons and demonic power. That's how angry he was for those that kept the children from coming to him. He's pretty upset. Here in Mark 10, it isn't the first time that Jesus was angry with the disciples for stopping something, and not the first time that he had spoken to them about children. In the chapter just before, Jesus put an end to an argument amongst the disciples. They were talking about adult things, okay? In the chapter before, you know how adults they were. They were talking about which one was the greatest in the kingdom of God. Right? A great adult topic. And Jesus responded to them. Mark chapter 9, verse 37, he says, "Anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes not only me, but also my Father who sent me." Put him straight with a child, didn't he? I know. We could say children are spoiled materially in our world, right? There's a lot of stuff in the world in which we live in today. I was probably spoiled as a child. There, I said it. Okay. I probably had too much stuff. But what about spiritually? Golly, I see them in the neighborhoods around here. They have all the toys. And some real expensive ones. But where are they at spiritually? Are we bringing them to Jesus? Do we see the spiritual diseases of this culture? Do we see the spiritual handicaps of this culture? Do we see the spiritual death of this world that we live in when we look at children? Are we neglecting children but not bringing them to Jesus? What are we to make of 2 John? What are we to make of Mark 10? John obviously stated that children living in the truth of Jesus matters.
children living in the truth of Jesus matters. The disciples thought they knew what mattered. They thought they had to get things organized, and it was foolish for people parents to bring their children to Jesus in Mark 10. And God in Jesus tells us over and over that God is on the side of the most vulnerable that walk the earth. And I'll tell you what, there's no one more vulnerable on this earth than children spiritually, brothers and sisters. We have a message from God's Word about the importance of children. How honored, think about this, how honored the chosen lady must have felt, whether that was an individual mother or whether it was a church. How honored, how proud, and pride is a good thing in this regard. How proud she must have felt when he addressed this letter to her and her believing children. John writes this letter, and we see in verses 1 and 2 that he writes to her children whom I love, as does everyone else who knows the truth. Do we know the truth? Do we love the children? Someday, all those who know the truth will enter the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah, there'll be many people there because many people brought many people to Jesus. But I also at the same time wonder if many may not be there as a result of neglect. We do not enter the kingdom of heaven because we know all the answers. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? We do not enter the kingdom of heaven because we've done everything right or because we pray well enough or we pray long enough. We do not enter the kingdom of heaven on the basis of greatness or success. The key, it seems, is to be less concerned about ourselves and more concerned with the children, be it of young age or any age. Are we neglecting children because we are more concerned with ourselves and our adult priorities? Neglected children of any age are not God's plan. Will you? Will we? Has the Church of Jesus make bringing children to Jesus the priority in our lives and in this church? Through this scripture at you, I want to throw it up for a moment. Psalm 79:13. It's not referenced in your bulletin, but we're going to look at it here. She's got it. Great. Thanks. Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will thank you forever and ever, praising your greatness for just our generation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you tell us to bring the children, to not get in the way. And Lord, we know that children can be of any age. But Lord, help us to determine in our hearts, Jesus, that bringing children to you is the only way that generation to generation people can know you. Let us be purposeful in that. Let us remember the joy that John had when he thanked the chosen lady for her children that believed the truth. Lord, may that be the truth for us. We ask in your name. Amen.